Pictured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You know, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven.
Okay? Bro!
I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly an Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven.
Ooh. That's kind of heartbreaking. This is Wretched Radio. That isn't the first time our president appears to either not understand grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, despite the fact that he's regularly surrounded by evangelicals. He doesn't appear to grasp, you can earn your way to heaven. That, or he actually thinks that he can. He thinks that attaining heaven, despite what his evangelical friends, I hope, have told him about faith alone, grace alone, and Jesus Christ alone, maybe he just adheres to the Roman Catholic works-based system. Donald Trump does not appear to understand that all of his sins can be forgiven, past, present, and future, and he can go to heaven based on the work and merits of Jesus Christ, not his own efforts. Now, that is what I think the president was trying to communicate. Commentator Matt Walsh, who is a Roman Catholic, he took the president's comments in a totally different direction that I don't see it, but he did.
I think, in particular, for a leader, for a person in a position of leadership, but really for anyone, is more spiritually mature and more theologically sound than the idea held by a lot of people criticizing him on this point that, you know, as long as we've professed our belief in Christ at some point, then we can say for absolute 100% certainty that we're going to heaven. Once saved, always saved.
I don't think that Donald Trump was sharing his understanding of a conditional versus eternal security. Nevertheless, Matt Walsh, she decided to focus on once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints. And I think that that would actually be right of him to do so as a Roman Catholic. Historically, the glorious doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that when you repent, you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that you are in his hand and nobody can snatch you out of it. That was the doctrine that the Protestant reformers recovered. And the Roman Catholic Church, needless to say, they didn't like that doctrine. Don't take it from me. Take it from this very, very articulate preacher.
Back in the 16th century, 1542, there was a cardinal who was born. Well, he wasn't a cardinal when he was born, but he was born, became a cardinal. Robert Bellarmine is his name, and he ultimately died in 1621. He was the personal theologian for Pope Clement VIII. He was a leader in the counter-Protestant Reformation. And he said this, I quote, and this is going to be a quiz for you to fill in the blank. The most dangerous of all Protestant heresies is, you're thinking justification. You're thinking grace alone, faith alone, Jesus Christ alone, sola scriptura. Those are all the things that I would say. But his shocking answer was the most dangerous Protestant heresy of all is the doctrine of assurance.
Wow. Why in the world would the Roman Catholic Church have despised and continue to despise the glorious doctrine of assurance? I think it's pretty obvious. If God saves and keeps us, then the entire works-based sacramental system of salvation of the Roman Catholic Church, that all just comes crumbling down. So let's engage with Matt's Roman Catholic theology to see if he or the Protestant reformers is right. Can you get saved and then can you get yourself unsaved?
If anyone declares that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and then 10 years later, you know, you go off and become an axe murderer or something, you are still absolutely guaranteed to go to heaven. That's the idea.
on the one hand, I appreciate Matt's concern for easy believism. Hey, you're in grace, so just go ahead and live any way that you want to. Nobody who adheres to eternal security would affirm easy believism. That I would join him in rejecting. But that is not to engage with what the Bible teaches about the issue of eternal security. Perseverance teaches that those who are indeed elected by God unto everlasting life will not be snatched from his hand. And the individual who lives in an ongoing state of unrepentant sin, and you'll hear him kind of get this muddled quite a bit, that individual reveals that he or she was never saved in the first place. Matt seems to actually know that argument, but apparently he rejects it.
And the people who promote this doctrine, they try to get around this, obviously.
No.
They've heard this objection many times and
we didn't create it. It's a different category.
Trying to get around it by saying, well, if you become an axe murderer, it means that the profession of faith was never sincere. But that's kind of ad hoc reasoning and it's totally fallacious. And the fact is that a person can sincerely believe that Jesus is Lord and also go off and commit horrific sins. I mean, it's possible for both of those things to happen.
All right. Speaking of ad hoc, Matt is basically saying that, hey, if you believe that you can stay in the kingdom and still be a sinner, that is fallacious. That's kind of scary. What sin would disqualify me? Do I have to be an axe murderer? Look with lust. What sin is going to get me disqualified from being an adopted member of God's family? Now, I don't know, it's a little muddy, if Matt was actually saying this, whether he believes or disbelieves that Christians can actually commit atrocious sins, whether they stay in Christ or not. Does he think that a Christian can commit a really big whopper? I don't know, but I actually do. I think a genuinely born-again Christian, because of whatever circumstances, can do something horrific. Now, does that mean that they can live an unrepentant lifestyle of ongoing sin? No, but is it possible that somebody could commit a whopper while being genuinely regenerated by God? And the answer to that question, I think, is yes. And that can't be used as a cudgel to bludgeon the doctrine of perseverance. You see, we think that the fact that a Christian can commit a really big sin, it doesn't undermine the doctrine of eternal security. It doesn't weaken it. It actually strengthens it. But that doesn't mean that invalidates 1 John 3:8-9, which makes it clear if you live in ongoing, unrepentant sin, you're of the devil. So Matt's kind of confusing his categories. Listen now as he sneaks in four words that totally misrepresent the Protestant position of perseverance.
You can't really get around this problem. If you believe once saved, always saved, then you believe that a person can commit the most horrific, monstrous sins imaginable.
Yes.
Not repent for them.
Did you catch those four words? Not repent for them. If somebody doesn't repent of their sin, they're not genuinely saved. So I'm not sure that Matt actually has a category of true and false converts. Jesus banged on this repeatedly. Wise virgins, foolish virgins, good fish, rotten fish, those that are actually wheat and tares, the saved, the unsaved. I don't know that he even has that sort of category, but we do. And an individual who does not repent for them reveals they aren't genuinely saved. Because a genuinely saved Christian who commits sin will repent. What does it say about God if he is willing to forgive an individual who claims to be his child who commits a really big nasty? I start singing Amazing Grace. That God continues to be patient with us and be a sympathetic high priest who understands us and whose grace is so expansive that even the sins that a believer commits are still forgiven. And I would again ask Matt, does it have to be a really big sin? Matt, I'm sure that you've been snarky with your kids. You perhaps were a little snippy with your wife. Are you out? I'm not saying that the doctrine of perseverance of the saints is right because the
the conditional view, which says, you know, there's conditions that need to be kept by you in order to maintain your salvation, that the consequences of that are horrifying. I think the point that Matt is missing, and again, I don't think he has a category for this, the issue really is about being a genuine convert versus a false convert, true faith versus spurious faith. Now, what does this reveal in Matt? You have to maintain your salvation. And if you commit a sin, apparently big or otherwise, you're outside of the kingdom. Or if you sin, you have to do a good deed to work yourself back into God's favor. In other words, the status of your soul is based on your performance. I got to tell you, that's works-based and that's horrifying. What do I need to do? Where's the rule book? Where does the Bible say? How many good deeds do I need to do for my lie? How much money do I need to give for my looking with lust? Furthermore, believing that I can do something to cleanse myself robs Jesus Christ of his salvific work that is total and complete. If Matt's right, you've got to throw away, well, the entire book of Ephesians. You've got to throw away certainly the book of Galatians, where Paul warned, hey, circumcision, if you think that that's going to get you to heaven, you're anathema. In other words, what Matt is promoting here, that there is conditional security, I think it's sloppy. I don't think that it's all that well studied, frankly. And I think the consequences of it are horrific because it robs Jesus Christ of his glory and it robs from us our joy. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A doctrine which is relatively new in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it was never the traditional way of understanding salvation. And Trump's view is much more traditional, much more in line with the traditional view, much more in line with what the church fathers taught, what the early church taught.
This is Wretched Radio. Matt Walsh responding to President Trump's comments that he doesn't think he's going to make it to heaven, that he's not qualified or fit for heaven. Matt Walsh turned into a diatribe about eternal security. While I don't think that was on the mind of the president, nevertheless, we're engaging with Matt Walsh, who is a Roman Catholic, to ask the Bible, not church history, but the Bible, where does it stand on the doctrine of assurance? Can you lose your salvation? This is such an important doctrine to wrangle with. So we are. Is Matt's understanding of church history accurate? Well, I asked Mr. AI, would you please provide quotes from early church fathers about their position on perseverance of the saints? And dozens of them popped up. Now, we always want to be careful whenever we engage with the early church fathers, because if you've ever done that, you'll know that Roman Catholics can find stuff they like, Protestants can find stuff they like. Why is that? Well, the early church fathers were dealing with these issues for the first time. They were wrangling with these things. They had different emphases on words. You don't want to commit any sort of time fallacy in interpreting what they said, because sometimes their words meant different things. They were wrangling with these issues. And so both Catholics and Protestants can go pretty much find whatever that is that they need support for. But here's a few of the quotes that AI found. Irenaeus of Lyon, this is AD 180. Those whom God has predestined to life, he calls effectually, he justifies, he glorifies. For whom he wills, he saves to the uttermost. Tertullian, AD 200. The elect shall not perish. For the choice of God is not a matter of repentance. His decree stands firm. Cyprian of Carthage, this is 250. Those who are born of God and remain in the church cannot be finally overcome by the adversary. They are guarded by the protection of the Lord. Now, Athanasius of Alexandria, this is 330. The saints are preserved through the indwelling word who abides forever. As he cannot die, so those who are truly in him cannot perish. I could quote Hilary of Poitiers, Basil the Great from 370, made it clear his view was you get saved and you get kept. Gregory of Nazianzus, 380, the elect are guarded by the power of God unto salvation, for what God has joined to himself cannot be lost. John Chrysostom, this is 390. Ambrose of Milan, 390. Whom Christ has taken hold of, he does not let go. And then you've got yourself Augustine of Hippo. He wrote an entire treatise on the subject. It's titled On the Gift of Perseverance. The year is 429. Quote, for it is not in our own strength that we persevere, but in the strength of him who has called us. Your salvation is not in you. Your salvation is located in a different zip code. Heaven, where Jesus Christ resides. Your security is not in your ability to maintain your status. Your confidence comes that your salvation has been accomplished by Jesus Christ, by another. Augustine, for the perseverance of the saints is the gift of God, and those whom he has once chosen, he will not forsake. Now, let's be clear on this. The early church fathers and the Bible describe the elect of God as those who persevere, because we see that, we know that, because they're doing works. But the Bible nor the early church fathers meant that works caused them to persevere. Their works were a sign that they were persevering because they are elect. Unfortunately, Matt Walsh, he chose to use Jesus to support his position on conditional security.
You know, Jesus said to the adulterous woman, go and sin no more.
Right.
I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. Meaning you can't just go out and do what you want.
Again, this is just category confusion. This is using one Bible verse. that is indeed addressing easy believism, you don't you get saved. Don't sin anymore. That's the goal. The reality is, though, we still do. Matt seems to be saying, and I don't think he'd argue with me, that if anyone goes out and sins, well, then they lose their salvation. That is terrifying. If any sin separates us from the love of God, you and I don't have a chance. And this is why the entire Roman system rises or falls with this doctrine. And by the way, did you catch the word Matt snuck in? You can't go back to that sinful lifestyle. Bingo, you're right. Lifestyle. Because a lifestyle of ongoing sin is a clear sign of false conversion. But that is a far cry from a genuinely regenerated believer who falls into sin and confesses their sin.
And again, to the whole theological debate, I'm only saying that I think the people criticizing Trump are on shakier biblical footing than he is here. I think Trump's comments are straight out of Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what I take from it.
Well, I know you do, but is that what you should take from it? Is that what the original author intended? Is Paul saying that our salvation is predicated? It's based on our works? What did Paul mean by work out your salvation with fear and trembling? If it means that our works comprise our salvation, contribute to or maintain our salvation, now that would contradict every single verse about grace alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Furthermore, Paul's letter to the Galatians, if you add works to salvation, you're anathema. Third, does God want us to be fearful and trembling regarding our salvation? Or are we supposed to be filled with joy? We are supposed to be rejoicing in our salvation. Fourth, did you notice Paul left out a little bit of that verse that's kind of important? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling because it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. All that to say we don't work for our salvation. It is God only who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. Paul was really describing sanctification, not justification.
No matter where you stand theologically, I would much rather have a leader who has fear and trembling, who has this humility, is unsure of his own ultimate fate. I would much rather have that in the most powerful man in the world than one who believes that no matter what he does, no matter what decisions he makes, he definitely can't go to hell no matter what. I would much rather the former scenario for a whole host of reasons.
Question, is it better to know you're going to heaven or not know that you're going to heaven? Let's talk about some practical pros and cons. Ultimately, the Bible decides, and as we're going to hear, the Bible is emphatic. You can't lose your salvation. But the pros of perseverance, confidence, joy, motivation for holiness. Why do I want to sin against my gracious God who saves me and keeps me? Perseverance, it provides stability when you're going through choppy waters. Confidence in a better source than myself for my salvation. Jesus, peace, anticipation for heaven. It keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. It encourages us to be grateful and to live a life of joyful obedience. Are there cons? No, but I think there can be abuses and there can be complacency regarding sin. But for the actual doctrine, absolutely there are no negatives. It's only upside. Paul put an end to the just go ahead and abuse grace when he said, you don't go on sinning that grace might more abound. Now, what about the Roman system of conditional security, maintaining your salvation through the church, by the way? I can't think of any pros. Honestly, I just can't. Keeping your salvation exhausting, frightening, joyless, a yoke, a burden that Jesus removes from us because his yoke is easy and gentle and light because he forgives completely. You'll never have peace. You'll never have assurance. You'll never have confidence, which means you need to keep running to the source where you can hopefully regain your status, the Roman Catholic Church. Conditional security, it fosters so much uncertainty and anxiety. It promotes pride.
Yep, God is well pleased with me because I haven't done this and I've done that.
Needless to say, the rules, they're onerous, they're legalistic in the worst sense that you have to keep the laws to earn your way to heaven.
And it undermines, this is the biggie, the sufficiency of Jesus' atoning work. And that is probably the worst thing of all, because that is precisely why he came. Now, despite all of that, the arbiter of truth isn't the pros and cons, the benefits, the upside, the downside. The judge in this debate is the Bible. Romans 5:1, having been justified, all done, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1-2, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he justified. And by the way, these are all aorist passives, I believe. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Romans 8:31-35. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Those God has chosen. It is God who justifies. Who is it then that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, he was raised to life. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Debate settled. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The transgender tide seems to be finally turning. The evidence for that is actually overwhelming. In North Dakota, the state just secured a major victory when a judge ruled their ban on child gender mutilation is perfectly constitutional, and prosecutors can now enforce penalties up to 10 years in prison for anyone who dares to mutilate a confused child. Meanwhile, the data shows transgender identification among college students has actually plummeted from nearly 7% to just 3.6% in 2 years. Turns out when you stop celebrating mental illness as an identity, fewer kids claim to have it. NBC News just laid off over 150 employees, and guess which teams got decimated? Their precious DEI verticals. So the network that spent years lecturing middle America about diversity, now they're discovering what happens when you prioritize ideology over ratings. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is showing the nation what actual law enforcement looks like. He's arrested 8 more suspects connected to an illegal abortion ring in Houston. These fake doctors, some of them foreign nationals, were working for Maria Rojas, who's facing 15 counts for posing as a physician while running death clinics across 4 Texas cities. Meanwhile, in Washington, the FDA just exposed itself as a rogue agency by approving a generic version of the abortion pill Mifepristone, even while it's supposedly under safety review. JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon just dropped a financial bombshell that should wake up every single one of us. We're dangerously dependent on China for critical minerals and manufacturing, and it's a national security disaster waiting to happen. Diamond's launching a $1.5 trillion initiative to break the stranglehold China has on rare earth minerals. Diamond warned that our adversaries aren't waiting before he called for immediate action. Well, here's a tragedy that exposes everything wrong with government incompetence. A Minnesota postal worker is dead today because police thought he was drunk when he was actually having a stroke. Officers ignored obvious stroke symptoms, muted their body cameras when discussing the possibility, and left him in a cell for 6.5 hours while his brain hemorrhaged. The toxicology report completely. A 50-year-old father is dead because government employees couldn't be bothered to do their jobs. Exactly what happens when accountability disappears from public service. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. I would also ask kindly, of course, that you would rate and review while you're there. It helps the algorithm, I think. Also makes me kind of feel important. Anyway, until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to keep piling on, but there's more verses that affirm eternal security. This is Wretched Radio. Romans 11:29, God's gifts are irrevocable. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. 1 Peter 1:18, you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Ephesians 1. You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Okay, if you can break the seal and get yourself unsaved, congratulations, you've thwarted the Holy Spirit. Boing. Jude 1:24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And then, of course, you've got Jesus himself in John chapter 10. I give them eternal life, not conditional life, eternal life. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful and just to complete what he started. The Bible is emphatic. Once you are saved, you are always saved. And I have to confess, I feel bad for Matt Walsh and any other Roman Catholic or anybody else who's in a work-based system. They've got to be exhausted. And they don't know the joy of reveling in all of these verses. Now, in fairness, they would be right to counter and say, wait a second, you just read a bunch of verses about eternal security, but what about the verses that suggest you can lose our salvation? Well, let's return to that wonderful preacher we saw earlier.
If you read the Bible, you have got Bible verses, and there's a fair number that appear to state you can lose your salvation. On this side, you've got a mountain. And so if you put these two views on a scale with their Bible verses, what I think you see is the scale tipping very strongly toward eternal security. Once God saves you, he doesn't blow it. He doesn't drop the pass in the end zone. He doesn't fumble the football. He saves you and he gets you there. The reformers talked about how you deal with the Bible with verses that appear to contradict one another. And that's what we're going to use today to resolve this tension between the two views. Scripture interprets Scripture. We use the analogy of Scripture. So when you see this mountain of verses that is crystal clear, nobody is going to snatch you from the hand of Jesus Christ. Everybody that has been given to the Son will be delivered for glorification. You take those verses and then seeing clearly that God, we interpret the unclear in light of the clear. And suddenly the Bible harmonizes and everything makes perfect sense.
Well done, son. Yes, there are verses that suggest we can lose our salvation. We have to acknowledge that, but there's a Grand Canyon filled with verses that outweigh them and cause us to understand those verses in light of the overwhelmingly clear verses. On a much more personal note, may I ask you some questions? Let's make this practical. Let's just consider the implications of this doctrine, whether our salvation and our status in God's eyes is secure, it's eternal, or if it's conditional. First question, do you think that your sins can cancel your salvation?
Can your sin separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? You've had a battle with pornography. You haven't watched it in 2 years, and you stumble. Can you be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus?
No.
No? Now, please note, go back to Romans chapter 7. Paul was in a battle with sin, but he was not a perpetual sinning willing participant in sin. If you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. 1 John 3:8-9. You're of the devil. You wake up in the morning, I love my sin. I'm going to carry out my sin. I'm going to live my sin. I love my sexual sins. I love to get drunk every night. I'm a fornicator, whatever. And I do it and I wake up the next day and round you go. You're not in Christ. But if you are in Christ and you are in the battle, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because it's in Christ. That's our security. What is it that we would have to do to lose it? Well, the Bible never hints at it, but I would ask my friends who are on the conditional security side, what is it that we have to do that would cause God to go, nope, not that sin. Nope, not that sinner. There's nothing. Why? Because it's not in you. To think that you can maintain your salvation is the Roman system. That's a works-based salvation. You can take some credit for it. All right, I maintain myself and I go to heaven. I can get at least a little bit of credit. Oh, no, you won't. God's getting all the credit for saving you and for keeping you and for glorifying you. You can't get out of it because you're in Christ. Your feelings are going to deceive you. And if you're, look, there's nothing wrong with occasionally examining yourself to see if you're in the faith. I think we're encouraged and exhorted to do that. But if you're a perpetual navel gazer, you're looking in the wrong direction. When you sin and when you doubt, don't look at your sin. Look at your Savior. That's where my salvation is. That's where my forgiveness is. Where's your salvation stored? In heaven, it's seated on the right hand next to God the Father. That's where your salvation is. That's where your security is. It is not in your feelings. Please notice the language here. Paul is trying to be so emphatic about this. God's love for you in, does he just say Jesus? No, we get Jesus' name, but we get Christ our Lord. Name, two titles. He does this also in Romans chapter 1 a couple of times. This is an emphatic. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Your salvation is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. But notice it's not the Lord, it's our Lord, which is much more personal, which is much more intimate. It's also very exclusive. This is a punctuation mark that you are in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and you are loved. You're not stomached by God. You're loved by God. Do you struggle with that? A lot of us do. I know a lot of people do. I talk to folks like this all the time. I struggle with this. We should struggle with this to a degree. God loves me. Well, that's what it says because it's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let me just say this to you. If you struggle with the notion that God actually loves you, can I just try to put a smile on my face and say this. Just get used to it. Just get used to it. It's a fact. And is it because you're so lovable? No. No, it's not. God doesn't love me because I'm adorable. Ask somebody seated in this congregation this morning. I'm loved because I'm in Christ. And that means I am loved with the same love that the Father has for the Son. And so are you. You want to make your brain crack open today? Ponder that thought. Meditate on that thought. You are as loved by God the Father as the Son is loved by the Father. There's no more love that God can love you with than that. And it's not because we deserve that love. It's because it's in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Well done, preacher boy. No, you don't go on sinning because you're just going to be forgiven. Anyway, it's just the opposite. And you need that knowledge to know when you do, not if you do sin, but when you do sin, you have an advocate, Jesus the righteous. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Please, don't think you can use this as a license to licentiousness, but we must be emphatic about this. Christians are gonna sin, and it isn't powerful enough to snatch you from the Father's hand. Here's another question for you.
You commit a sin. Do you think that you need to wait to talk to God? One of our songs actually talked about that. Do you feel that way sometimes? You know, I did. I was really severe with my spouse. Oh, that lustful thought again. I just let it go and I just ran with it. And suddenly you think, maybe I shouldn't go to church. Maybe I shouldn't pray to God. I'll just wait till tomorrow, as if somehow 8 hours of sleep makes that sin disappear. Don't do that. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. He's the first person you should tell. Don't let him be the last person. You can't be separated. As if then you can do something to clean yourself up to get reunited with him. You are in him. You cannot get separated.
That is glorious news. The fruit of this biblical doctrine, they just keep appearing and manifesting themselves all over your life. This doctrine will not lead you to sin. It will actually help keep you from sinning. That is why, sorry, Matt Walsh, we rejoice in the biblical doctrine of assurance. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because gospel partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at FortisPlus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Sitkenu,
the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get personal. Personal. Sorry, I will never do that again. Thank you for that, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. Donald Trump on Air Force One asked, hey, do you think the peace treaty that with Israel, do you think it's going to help you get to heaven? No, I don't think so. I don't think that I'm going to heaven. That's heartbreaking because it is clear he has not embraced the gospel of grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Matt Walsh responded to his comments. As a Roman Catholic, he turned it into a diatribe about the doctrine of assurance, and he was more than happy to express his difference of opinion on the Protestant doctrine that once you get saved by God, completely and totally, you get kept by him. You see, if that is true, then all of the sacraments of the Roman Catholic system have to go. You don't need them because Jesus paid it all, which is exactly what the Bible says over and over and over again. The doctrine of perseverance, it is biblical. There are distinctions between once saved, always saved. Perseverance of the saint. There's nuances to that. But let's just put it this way, that when God saves you, he keeps you. That is a biblical doctrine. Additionally, it is such a glorious doctrine. It actually helps us in our walk of sanctification. It actually helps our affections and our emotions and our longings and our desire to be fit for heaven. It is a glorious doctrine. And yet, there is another doctrine that our preacher boy was talking about in this sermon on the doctrine of assurance based on Romans 8, 38 and 39. The doctrine of adoption. Are you familiar with this glorious doctrine? Does the Bible even hint about the fact that you, when he regenerates you, are made a child of God? If not, I'm telling you, this is just another nail in the coffin of conditional security, but it is also a doctrine that will help you not feel like, oh, when I sin, I'm not saved anymore.
For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, the spirit testifying. And if we're his children, we're his heirs, verse 17, heirs with Christ, heirs with Christ. You're an heir of God. Did you know that? It's not because you deserved the inheritance. It's given to Christ and he shares it with you. And please notice what he says in the beginning. You shouldn't have this spirit of fear because you've been adopted. This is a doctrine. I suspect Cardinal Robert Bellarmine wouldn't like this theology either. But the doctrine of adoption, the Puritans used to say, this is the most glorious doctrine in the Bible, that you have been adopted.
Oh, the most glorious doctrine indeed. Justification accomplishes your adoption. When you get saved, God declares from heaven, mine, and he doesn't return you back to your former master. No. He adopts you. He brings you into the family. It is an eternal declaration, an irrevocable eternal declaration that when you are saved, you are forever adopted into his family, and there's nothing you can do to get unadopted. The doctrine of adoption, it'll put an end to your striving, trying to maintain your status. It'll put an end to your worrying when you go about the business of falling into sin and you think, I've lost it. I no longer have God's favor. You do, because you're adopted because of Jesus Christ. Your membership in God's family has been sealed, and you can't break that seal. No son or daughter ever wonders if they're no longer a son or daughter because they didn't do their chores. Or they sass-mouth their mother. Nor do they ask, what do I need to do to be made a son or daughter again? You didn't bring yourself into the family of God. You cannot kick yourself out of God's family, even when you sin. But our preacher boy has one final practical question about the doctrine of assurance.
Do you sometimes wonder if you're outside of Christ because you repented and believed, but you maybe don't think you repented enough? I just don't know that I was really sorrowful enough. I don't know that I'm believing enough. Can I just tell you? You're not, and you didn't. None of us did. But what size faith qualifies you for heaven? Mustard seed? Of course you didn't repent enough. You can't. You would have to be just flagellating yourself constantly in sackcloth and ashes. We're so totally depraved. But have you turned from your wicked ways and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, you're in Christ and you are secure. Don't look at how well you did at conversion because you didn't do well enough. But your conversion wasn't wrought by you. It was predestined by God. You were called, you were justified, you were sanctified, and you were glorified, and you're going nowhere. But please note this, it is predicated on our prepositional phrase at the end of Romans 8:39, if you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you repented and placed your faith in him? Then you're in.
And if you are not in Christ, you're out. And one of the things that will disqualify you as being an actual justified sinner, an adopted family member of God, is that you are not trusting wholly in his work. If you are relying on your own work any way, shape, or form, then you are, according to Paul, anathema. But if you are in Christ, you are forever in the glorious doctrine of assurance. If you ever bump into Matt Walsh, please tell him, Matt, there's some great news for you. Your works aren't going to get the job done. They're described as filthy rags. You can't earn God's favor. Jesus paid it all, and therefore all to him we owe because he did this in order to get all of the glory. And if we contribute to our salvation in any way, shape, or form, we rob him of his glory. And that just ain't gonna happen. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to assume anything, so I'll ask, do your kids ever sin? Yes. Wasn't telling a dad joke. Do your kids ever sin?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Then are they no longer in the family?
No.
All right. Do you ever get maybe just like your relationship, it gets a little bit funky because they're sinning?
Oh, well, that's going to happen.
Uh-huh. But does that somehow mean they're no longer your sons?
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
They can't be. And now you might say that, hey, the doctrine of adoption, it's a little bit different because they're not bio kids. Well, the document of adoption that God gives is his oath and his promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will never separate you from my love, which is in Christ Jesus. And so the adoption papers for you, the fine print, the bold print is the same. You can't get unadopted. Jimmy, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the doctrine of adoption?
Oh, it has been
a long, long time.
Yeah.
I fear it's a lost doctrine. And I think it could be one of the reasons that so many that are going to good churches, but they struggle. I know people struggle with this all the time. That's why I had all of these questions. That sermon that we were hearing, by the way, that was from 7 years ago, I believe, in Bryan, Texas, on the doctrine of eternal security based on Romans 8:38 and 39. I wanted to show that this doctrine of being saved forever, being kept eternally. There's another thing for you, by the way. Does conditional security continue into heaven? So you could get glorified in heaven, but does the Roman Catholic system apply there too? And you can somehow get yourself unglorified? The tense and the passive nature of this is, this has been done to you. In eternity past, God elected, he called, he justified, he glorified. In other words, your entire destination was already determined in eternity past. Now, it actually had to happen in real time, but it was done before the universe existed. And if you don't remember that, You won't have as much assurance. That's all. I'm not saying you can't have any. It's just you won't have a lot. Furthermore, I'm not saying you can't have any joy down in your heart, but it won't be as much. Our joy bubbles up the more we learn about the glorious impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should bring more joy. It should bring more assurance. And the doctrines, plural, of perseverance of the saints and adoption will do just that. What a bummer for Matt and for Donald Trump. They don't possess that. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.